correct the test. We're going to correct the test in less than 15 minutes. That's the truth. There'll be no questions, and I'm not going to read any questions. Because there's no way I'm going to correct this. And there's no way we're going to talk about it in class either. If you have a question, after you get it back, write it in. I'll be glad to look at it. So I'm just going to go through all the questions and give the right answers. And that's it. Period. Pardon? Yes. Once you get your test back, you can write in any question you want. Make sure that they're sweet. Okay. Question number one, letter D. Number two, D. Number three, B. Number four, E. Five, C. Six, C. See, that was pretty easy, huh? Pretty well. Number seven, C. Except for poor Warren there. He lost out on page one. So number seven, C. Number eight, D. That's D, as in dog. Number nine, A. Number ten, B. B, as in Bobby. Number 11, C. Number 12, C. And number 13, B. Number 14, A. 15, E. 16, D. 17, C. And 18, E. So that's what we have. Okay, check all that apply. Letter A. Letter C. Letter D. F, H, I, and M. A, C, D. F, H, I, and M. Number two. Letter A, D, F, H, I, J, K, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, W, and X. Okay. Number three. Check letter A, E, F, G, H, J, K, and L. Question number four, don't check any. So none for question four. Question five, check everything. Every single thing. Number six, I know it's you're tempting not to ask questions, isn't it? Yeah, I'm ready to come out. Well, we're maturing, see? We're doing pretty well. We couldn't do this with just a brand new set of babes, you know? It'd be too hard on them. Number six, A, B, C, E, F, G, H, and J. Number seven is B, C, and on letter E, we'll take it either way. Take letter E either way. F, G, H, I. There's many contradictory things. Many contradictory things. That's part of the problem. Number eight. A through H is checked. A through H. Number nine. A, C, D, E, F, G, I, J, K, L, O, and P. Number 10, C, E, F, G, and H. Number 11, A, B, C, D, E, I, L, M, N, O. Number 12, A, B, D, E. A, B, D, E. Part 3, true or false? The only one false on number one is B. So all the rest are true. 1B is false. The only one false on number two is E. The only one false on number two is E. Number three, it's false, true, false, true, true. False, true, false, true, true. Number four, it's all true. Number five is all true. Number six, the only one false is E. Number seven is all true. And number eight, only B is false. Number nine, true, true, false, false, false. True, true, false, false, false. Number ten, all true. Number ten, all true. Number 11, true, false, 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 true. True, false, 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 true. Number 12, only C is false. Only C is false. Number 13, only A is false. Only A is false. Number 14 and number 15 are all true. 14 and 15 are all true. Okay, then part four. J, J, E, F, I, A, D, B, C, G, F, B, B, H, F, number 16, you can have either I or J, and if somebody put both, that's fine, just one or the other, or both, either way, 17J, 18F, and then the last two, G, G, and F. Letter B, talking about these locations, B, F, J, H, H, C, A, E, F, D, G, I, G, G, I, D, and H. And then the last one. Everything is D except for the following ones. Number four is A. So that means 1, 2, and 3 are D. Number 13 is B. That means 5 to 12 are D. Number 14 is C. And number 18 is B. So 13 is B. A is, excuse me, 4 is A, 13 is B, 14 is C, and 18 is B. All the rest are D. So what did I say? B? 14 is C. As in Kazuntite or something. One more time on page 19. Number 4 is A. Number 13 is B. Number 14 is C. And number 18 is B. And everything else is D. So 1 to 3 is D. 5 to 12 is D. And 15 to 17 is D. Yeah.
Oh, I was, when you started, let's see, the check all that apply, I started on number 2. When you started number 1, I caught myself later and I corrected, but I need you to give me one, both 1 and 2 over in there.
Get it from Tony. Tony, you show him what you got. It's pretty exciting, huh? What? B for 3 and E for 4. Now you add up all the minus, subtract from 200, and divide that number by 2. So you can get it on a 100 percentile. So add up the minus, subtract from 200, and divide it by 2. And then once you have that done, you can pass them in.
I'm going to go for the last
Not too bad. Okay, we're going to start Christian Science. And you're going to turn in your paper on Mary Baker Eddy on the 7th of December. You also have your test on Christian Science on the 7th of December. We'll only study Christian Science for the rest of tonight and then the 1 week after vacation, because we don't have class next week. So we'll study it tonight and on the 30th, and then we'll have our test on the 7th. So we won't take a whole lot of time with this. The way we'll present this has one unfortunate drawback, and we have to present it this way because of the lack of time. And the way I'll present it will give you a wrong picture of Christian Science. So I will admit that at the beginning. If you do any reading on Christian Science, you'll find out it is the wildest, strangest, most incomprehensible thing that there really is. This thing is really bizarre. And you cannot really make heads nor tails out of it. You really can't. This thing is strange. This is a wild, demonic philosophy. And it is just filled with darkness, contradictions, confusion. It doesn't make any sense. Christian Science doesn't make any sense. And that's the truth. It doesn't make any sense. No sense whatsoever. And you've got to be demonized with certain kinds of demons to believe it. You cannot be a logical, rational, reasonable, objective human being and be in Christian Science. You cannot be, really. Now, you might on the outside, but in your head, it's got to be scrambled eggs. And that's the truth. Just the reading I've done, you can't figure out what Mary Baker Eddy said on anything. And it's contradictory and it's all over the map. And that's the truth. But the way we'll present it, we'll just be more or less boiling it all down, and so then it makes it look pretty straightforward. But it's not straightforward. So I just want to tell you that at the outset. Now, the official name of it is the Church of Christ Scientist. See, this is just a form of Gnosticism is what it is. Just a higher spiritual, intellectual knowledge. And it is science falsely so-called. So the Church of Christ Scientist. It's built on a human foundation of which was a demonized human being. And the interesting thing about it in this case is that it was based on a woman rather than a man. Jehovah's Witnesses, based on Charles Russell. Mormons, based on Joseph Smith. But now here comes a woman. And Christian Science is this non-Christian cult, and it's founded upon Mary Baker Eddy and her writings. E-D-D-Y. Mary Baker Eddy. The official date for the founding of this cult is 1879. And it's directly in line with the succession of cults which began in the 19th century. Now, this system, this whole cult, is a doctrine of denials to the utmost. If we were to evaluate Christian Science as to its denials of true Christianity on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about 27. This is a doctrine of denials, and we would have to rate Jehovah's Witnesses perhaps just 2 or 3. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses was a doctrines of denial. They denied a lot. But not anything like this. This is a doctrine of denials. And it deals with all the normal things that would be denied by a demonic cult. Inspiration of Scripture, doctrine of God, deity of Christ, person of the Holy Spirit, the incarnation, virgin birth, creation of man, ascension of Christ, doctrine of salvation, redemption, miracles, atonement of Christ, bodily resurrection of Christ, second coming of Christ, existence of Satan, nature and existence of hell, nature and existence of heaven, and denial of the doctrine of sin. But it goes way beyond that, because in actuality it denies the very existence of God Himself. God Himself really becomes a non-existent being. He really is not existing. So it denies God. And it further denies all matter. This is where the contradictions come in. Because of statements they'll make that really contradict this, but they do deny the existence of all matter, of all sin and evil, all disease and all death. So they deny the existence of matter, all evil and sin, all disease, and all death. So they're just denying everything. So that's why it's 27 on the scale of 1 to 10. Now, when we look at the founder's life, this lady, she was a mess. She was really a mess. And she had all sorts of maladies, both of body and mind, right up to the end of her 89-year life. So Christian Science was not working for this lady. But just like a lot of other things, that doesn't seem to matter at all. Jesus said something so simple and so profound. You'll know the tree by its fruit. And most people, they go up to these trees with demonic blinders, pull down the worm-infested fruit, bruised, battered, putrefying, take a big bite of it and go, boy, best fruit I ever ate. It's a demonic thing. It's a blindness, a deception. It's terrible. It's a tragedy beyond words. She lived from 1821 to 1910. This lady, she was confused. The devil really used her. She claimed for herself such divine inspiration and godlikeness as to make her assertions appear utterly incompatible with the impression she made upon the majority of her contemporaries. The way she talked, as far as her teaching, and the claims she made in Christian Science, and then the way she was in body and mind, all of her contemporaries walked away shaking their heads. The people who were not buying the lie and under the deception could see this lady is bankrupt. This lady is a walking disaster. That's really the truth. But since then, her followers have further virtually deified her, and they have gone through and have whitewashed everything they can to change the whole picture of who Mrs. Eddy really was. And so time has proved to be on the side of the Christian Science Publication Committee. And that's a particular part of the Christian Science Church. And they have worked, this Christian Science Publication Committee, they have worked to overcome the general public knowledge and the general public opinion of Mrs. Eddy's obvious weaknesses and the fact that her whole life was a contradiction to what she taught. Numerous works were written in opposition to the cult by contemporaries, people living during that same time. But most of them now are out of print. And I think the Christian Science Church has worked to make this possible. And large quantities of what they have termed as obnoxious literature has been collected and destroyed. They've gone to libraries, they've gone to all sorts of places all around the nation collecting information that properly pictured Mrs. Eddy, and they've purchased it and destroyed it. And so that's what this committee, that's one of the main things that this committee does. And then they've also rewritten the life of Mrs. Eddy. That sound familiar with Mormonism? Same whitewashing, same thing. Same exact thing. One thing that they'll do, and this will even happen today, if somebody starts to write anything that is negative about Mrs. Eddy, this committee will find out about it, and then they will immediately send a huge box of literature telling the true story about Mrs. Eddy to that person. And so they're really active in this thing. Yeah. It's the Christian Science Publication Committee. So it's a part of the Christian Science Church, of their whole organization. And I'll read a couple of statements here, and these are about some of the biographies that were written. And it says, but none of these writers have changed their estimate of Christian Science. So even though this publications committee has followed after these people and tried to change their thinking, these ones who really knew Mrs. Eddy and the ones today who have really traced the history accurately, they're not being duped and conned by this committee. But it says here that their estimate of Christian Science or its author as a result of such correspondence, they haven't been changed by this correspondence. As Mrs. Millmines, the last... that it is impossible to set all this aside as negligible. So there were people during her time, and people even today, and they have really done research into who this lady was. And those things can't be set aside. And then there is a biography written by a man named Mr. Dakin, D-A-K-I-N, and it's called Mrs. Eddy, The Biography of a Virginal Mind. And I don't know what that really, real meaning or intent of that, maybe just that it was prone to be open to anything that came along and infused it, I guess. I don't really know the purpose in that title. But it says it's so well documented that it cannot be ignored. Of this bestseller, such outstanding and unbiased reviewers as one from the New York Times, Book of the Month Club, American Mercury, spoke with the highest regard. One in the New York Herald Tribune wrote, the decency of the author's attitude, his fine judgment, his poise, and his common sense make his work entirely praiseworthy. And a man named Lewis Mumford stated, Mr. Dakin has committed an unforgivable offense against Mrs. Eddy. He has done her justice. In other words, he told the truth. Found out who she was, and then wrote it accurately, clearly, understandably. Christian Science statements that this scholarly standard work has been written without dependable data. See, that's how they'll refute some of these things. And they'll make efforts to boycott and to suppress the sale of such books. But other people who have looked into it, they can see that these stories, they're honest, they're objective, they're really dealing with the facts, the data, the information that is really there historically. But what Christian Science does is it tries to throw mud on these biographers and then whitewash Mrs. Eddy, which is just, that sounds like politics. It's a normal tactic of cults and all sorts of other things. Now, this religion, this cult, has obviously done a great amount of harm. But it has brought forth, so to speak, good fruit. And that's one of the reasons that it still exists and is fairly prominent. It's been declining since the 40s, but it's still fairly well known. And really, in a sense, if the whole system was totally evil and totally twisted, messed up, and all the rest, there really wouldn't be anybody following it, in a sense. It's like in the Jehovah's Witnesses, there's something there that's appealing. There's something in Mormonism that's appealing, and there's something here that's appealing. And so with careful qualification, we could describe it as good fruit, although I don't really like that description personally. Now, what Christian Science has done is that they have brought about legitimate cures for certain illnesses. They really have. And they've done it by curing certain psychosomatic illnesses. And then, of course, they have brought about cures affected by demonic power. They have no healings to speak of from God. I do not believe there is one healing ever recorded in Christian Science that was by the power of God. It was either a psychosomatic thing, or it was a demon, and they were able to get the demon to release because the demon was just playing along with their scheme. And so people have been healed, and they have testimonies of healing. And so you can say that healing is good fruit. But like I mentioned just a moment ago, I don't really like to describe it that way, because it's not really good in the true sense. Actually, it's only a counterfeit. It's really only part of what the deception is that has caused people to be drawn into this thing. It has been suggested by some authors that general science is indebted to Mrs. Eddy, and I think that's absurd. And what they point out, though, is that through Christian Science, and this is true to a degree, that there has been a rediscovery of the all-important interaction between the physical body and the mental state. And they say that this has been rediscovered through Christian Science. And there is a truth in this. If a person worries, they're not only going to have constant headaches, migraine headaches, they're going to start having all sorts of other problems in their body. And that's true. It really happens. And if you can get them to think a certain way and they'll believe what they're thinking and change the whole frame of reference, before too long they feel different. They're not experiencing the same illnesses. So there's a definite connection between the body and the mind. And so some, I think, very naive authors, though, have attributed too much to her. I think that so-called modern medicine would have discovered this without Christian Science ever coming along, and a lot of others would have discovered it as well. So it's true that psychosomatic troubles have been recognized, and some say mostly in the wake of Christian Science. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. I just don't want to give very much credit to Christian Science. I'm not really wanting to join their bandwagon, and I don't really want to say anything good about them. It's my personal feelings are. I find it hard to say something good about something that has destroyed tens of thousands of souls and impacted a lot of other people as well. And but it's not a surprising thing that something so much of the devil would have a certain element of good and would accomplish a certain good and even be beneficial in a sense. That's what you'd expect from the devil. That's what you'd expect him to come up with. That's the way he's able to dupe a lot more people. They see a good accomplished, and they don't look behind the curtain. They don't take a look and see what's on the other side of the sheepskin. They don't realize that it can be wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't realize that demonic spirits can come as angels of light. They don't realize these things. That's why some people will even say good about seances and spiritists and other sorts of occult practices, because people have received healings and they've received benefit. But I'm not going to label those things as good, because they're counterfeits. And they're not ultimately good, because they're actually destroying souls. It's getting people trapped. It's a snare. And once those people are in it, and the devil's been able to get his teeth into them, boy, is it hard to get out. It's like that testimony of the lady who couldn't get healing. Her daughter couldn't get healing, so they went to a spirit medium. She got healing, and the mother said, "Well, come on, let's go back to the Pentecostal church." She said, "Mother, I can't. The spirits won't let me." And she was right. They weren't going to let her. She had made taken a step into a prison, and they weren't going to let her out easily. And these are very serious things. Now, some have gone so far as to say that the growing interest in psychiatry has come about because of Christian Science. But I think that some somehow got on the wrong bandwagon. As far as the evil the cult has wrought, this so far outweighs any so-called good. This thing is diabolical. This thing is demonic. And as far as I'm concerned, it's demonic in every sense of the word. Now, here are some of the basic evils brought about by Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy and her followers have made claims of healing that cannot be substantiated. And I think in some of these, they have just lied. Or else they're so deceived that they think they're telling the truth and that they've experienced something when in fact they haven't. And in this thing where it's so much as the mind and nothing is really real, they could experience something in the mind and talk about it as though it happened, and not be able to distinguish really between reality and non-reality. They wouldn't be able to do that. They're in such a strange realm of thinking. Christian Science cannot remove organic diseases It can't deal with physical injuries. It cannot deal with disablements. It can't. The only thing that could be removed as far as a so-called organic disease would be a demon that leaves, just to further propagate this demonic deception. But other than that, they can't do anything. Christian Science can't heal like Jesus Christ healed. They can't heal like the like in the atonement we have healing. That's not in Christian Science. Not in any way, shape, or form, as far as in the real evaluation of it and a proper understanding. Mrs. Eddy herself reluctantly granted the feasibility of calling in surgical help. She didn't want to admit there might be times where this was needed, but she did reluctantly say, yes, there could be times when surgery is needed. And she's on record in making these kind of statements. Here's a quote by Mrs. Eddy, and this is completely unsubstantiated. Here's one of her claims. I healed the malignant tubercular diphtheria and the carious bones that could be dented by the finger, saving them when the surgeon's instruments were lying on the table, ready for their amputation. I healed at one visit a cancer that had so eaten the flesh of the neck as to expose the jugular vein so that it stood out like a cord. Really? Do you believe that? I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it for one moment. When somebody is given over to demons like this, they can lie through their teeth with an absolute good conscience. They could take 450 polygraph tests and never be shown to be a liar, yet they're lying. They're lying to the hilt. These people, they don't even know they're lying. They don't even know what they're saying. See, these people really come under deception. They don't know. When you get in this thing, they can't really tell the difference between reality and non-reality. That's a horrible state. That sounds like being in a state of insanity, doesn't it? Yeah, that's why people are in mental wards. This is a pathway to real mental problems, in my estimation. Official Christian Science literature would have us believe that Mrs. Eddy repeatedly raised those who had been held in the clutches of death. That's ridiculous. She may have picked them up off their bed and laid them back down and watched them die, but she didn't do anything else. They're preposterous claims. Preposterous. She had no proof. She had no x-rays, affidavits, all sorts of other things. She didn't have that. They're lies. Either she was so deceived and all of her followers were so deceived, or else she's just knowingly is a liar. I mean, I don't know exactly what she was, but it wouldn't surprise me for her just to be a liar. I mean, I hope you wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, a person like this, so given to demonic spirits, they'll do anything the demons tell them to do, basically speaking. I mean, I'm not here to justify this woman. I'm here to tell you what this woman really was. She was demonized. She was a mess. And I don't have any positive thoughts about this lady. I think it's horrible. She's in the lake of fire. I mean, waiting judgment for the lake of fire. And her philosophy's changed a great deal since 1910. She took on a new dimension when she passed out of this life. She met Jesus. She found out that Christian Science was a whole big pack of lies of demonic spirits. Now, there's a large amount of literature dealing with authentic cases in which Christian Science practitioners were condemned by the United States courts for needlessly causing deaths, causing people to die by their refusal to call in medical and surgical aid. Reports of these cases may be found in books available in public libraries. And you can even find some of the records in books in Christian Science reading rooms. And these practitioners, they're like the so-called doctors of Christian Science. They're not MDs in any way, shape, or form. But they're the ones that you go and you pay them money and they'll counsel you. And about the strongest thing they'll ever tell you to do medically is get an x-ray. But they will never counsel you to get any sort of medicine or any sort of real medical aid. And they're dealing with these horrible physical problems as though if you just straighten out the thinking, that'll solve the physical problem. They're crazy. I wouldn't listen to them for 5 seconds. like it's the same kind of thinking in these Christians who say they're sick as a dog, and they're taught to say, "I'm not sick." I mean, that is ridiculous. That's ludicrous. If that doesn't bring a horrible reproach on the gospel, I don't know what does. Here's a guy in poverty and a guy who's sick, and he says, "I'm rich and I'm not sick," and all this other nonsense. See, that's the devil. The devil's come into the church with this same kind of foolishness. This is foolishness. This is denying reality. This is denying you've got problems, weaknesses, illness, or whatever else. See, doctrine of denials. Denying reality. Denies what's real. So virtually nothing exists except for some sort of mind, some sort of divine science, some sort of weird, bizarre, nebulous, metaphysical thing. This philosophy causes its adherents to live a life of unreality. That's the worst thing about it. Unreality. That's what drugs do. That's what alcohol does. That's what all sorts of things in life do. This is just another way that the devil gets people to live unreality. That's terrible. People don't face life. They run from life. They hide from life. These people are unable to cope with the results of actual evil forces because they don't address them properly. They ignore them, say they don't exist. They don't face these things. They don't have the slightest idea how to face them. So what are these evil forces actually doing to them? They're overcoming them. These people are being destroyed by demonic spirits and don't even know it. I don't believe in demonic spirits. It doesn't matter if you believe in them or not. They're still destroying these souls. I don't believe in hell. Well, fine. It's fine. But when you stand there and God casts you into hell, you'll change. You know, I don't believe that this hurts or this will kill me or whatever. Well, let's find out. Let's find out if pain is real. I mean, it's just horrible. It's a terrible thing. And it's so... It goes so many directions all at the same time, you can't get a hold on it. It's really a bizarre thing. It really is. By denying the reality, they attempt to overcome evil forces by lying to their own mind. They're lying to their own mind. You can't overcome any problem this way. You can't have some problem, some evil force, some sin, weakness, illness, and overcome it by denying its existence. You can't overcome anything that way. This thing is leading souls to eternal damnation. They deny God, they deny the devil, they deny sin, they deny Christ's atonement, they deny heaven and hell. It leads them to reject God, follow the devil, live in sin without Christ's atonement, miss heaven, and end up being tormented eternally in the lake of fire. That's exactly where they're headed. It's horrible. Here's a brief history of this whole thing. Gives you a little bit of further background on the church. At Lynn, Massachusetts, in 1866, Mary Baker Eddy recovered almost instantly from a severe injury after reading Matthew 9, 1-8, the account of Christ's healing of the man sick of the palsy. This story is an absolute lie. It's not what happened at all. She received benefit in 1862, and then her so-called inspiration for Christian Science is said to have come in 1866. She's lying. It did not happen like this. History does not bear this out. She'd been profoundly religious, lifelong student of mental and spiritual causation. She came to attribute causation to God and to regard Him as divine mind. Now that isn't a bizarre, ethereal, nebulous, ambiguous, intangible thing. I don't know what is. Divine mind. From these roots came Christian Science and the Church of Christ Scientists. Generally, it's described as a religious teaching and practice based on the words and works of Christ Jesus. That's totally false. Not that at all. Christian Science was regarded by Mrs. Eddy as divine metaphysics, as a scientific system of divine healing, and as the law of God, the law of good, interpreting and demonstrating the divine principle and rule of universal harmony. Sounds grand and glorious. Can never figure out what it means, though. She believed the principle of all harmonious mind action to be God. And basically speaking, This is exactly what Norman Vincent Peale preached and what Robert Schuller is preaching this very moment. But I do not have any sort of positive feelings toward Robert Schuller. I do not personally believe he's born again. I do not believe that he's a man of God. Personally, that's how I feel at this point in time. If somebody can prove me wrong, I'd be happy to be proven wrong. Because I'd much rather have his name in the Lamb's Book of Life than they're ready to go in the lake of fire. But he's not preaching the gospel. He's not. His books don't preach the gospel. His sermons don't preach the gospel. If you've ever seen him or heard him, he's not preaching the gospel. He's not. He is not preaching the gospel. It's a positive thinking. That's all it is. He's on TV all the time. And he's very well known. He's becoming very popular in the charismatic movement, which is just beyond my comprehension. I wonder what these ministers in the charismatic movement are using by which to determine who to have speak and who's really being anointed of God. They're, you know what they're using to a large degree? How big your church is and how much your popularity is. That's a terrible thing. That is a tragedy beyond words.
You claim to be spirit-filled and speak in
tongues. I don't know what he claims. I'm positive he doesn't make any claim like that. But to be spirit-filled wouldn't surprise me. But speaking in tongues, I'm sure he doesn't mention anything about that. But he's in the same boat, really, as far as I can tell. It's in the same kind of thinking. It's a mind thing. It's a positive thinking. And that is not the gospel. Jesus didn't come just to get us to think positively. It's not the way to get saved. I'm going to teach you to think positive, and that's the way to salvation. That's not the way to salvation. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he says, think on these things, he's saying, think on truth. Think on the real plan of God, what he's done for you and what your position is in relationship to that. There's not a mind over matter type thing. It's not what it is. So here she is, this mind action. Principle of all harmonious mind action to be God. She wrote most of these definitions and descriptions of her faith in Science and Health, which is one book. And with it is the book, Key to the Scriptures. So you've got Science and Health, which is actually one book, and along with it is a second book, Key to the Scriptures, which we'll explain later on. And these books ultimately take the place of the Bible. They make a claim that they follow and believe the Bible. Two of her quotes about the Bible just is incomprehensible. And then when you see what they do, that's why the quotes are incomprehensible, because they say one thing about the Bible, but they don't believe that. They don't live that. She didn't live that. Like many other religious leaders and pioneers, Mrs. Eddy hoped to work through existing churches. She did not plan another denomination. But organization became necessary as interest in the movement spread. And under her direction, the Church of Christ Scientists, a local church, was established at Boston. And this is where the mother church of Christian Science is today, in Boston. And the beginning date, as I mentioned before, was 1879. Then in 1892, she established the present worldwide organization. And with that, you had the first Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. And then branch churches have been established since then. And that church is called the Mother Church. And we'll take another break and start from there.
On your way through, all the way through. All right.
I'm going to bomb that one.